Hey everybody, this is Noah. Just wanted to thank you for coming to the podcast. Just want to give a heads up. A little bit of an editing nightmare with this one. Tried doing two mics. I think we're just going to stick to the one mic setup. Because there's a lot of problems, a bunch of echoing and stuff like that. So bear with us for that. Appreciate you sticking around and enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Watchtower. I am joined by my close personal friend, Noah Moyer.
What's going on, everybody?
I am Thomas Savante. I am one half of this team, one half of this watching crew here with my other better half, per se. So, what's going on with you? How's your day been?
Not too bad.
Not too bad?
No, just some, you know, editing on the website, stuff like that. You know, the thought I had is I kind of like to think of us doing this like as a radio show up at the top of a watchtower. Like, for some reason my mind goes right to Firewatch.
Yeah. Oh,
and we're just chilling,
but
for some reason we're just chilling inside there, just lay back and talking out with the CB. I don't know.
It would definitely be nice to do this with a bit of a view. Like right now, I don't know about you, but I look out these windows and all I see is the number one in video recording.
and miserable students. Don't forget about that.
That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. This is also recorded on a Monday, so you have two more miserable students right here.
Oh, but at least we're going home tomorrow for Thanksgiving break, so thank God for that.
Happy Thanksgiving for anybody who's celebrating it. To everyone else, have a good week.
Exactly. If not, you should eat a lot of food anyways. That's just a good excuse to do it.
Agreed. Yeah. I think that's why most people
the best,
do it.
The best excuse.
All right, you want to get into some of this news?
Yeah, I mean, on the last episode, we said we would get to the Battlefront 2 loot and progression controversy.
And because we hold ourselves to our word, it's the first thing we're going to talk about.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, if you've been following any podcast, any news, and if you're on Reddit, anywhere pretty much, you have heard about what's been going on with EA and this shitstorm that has happened, you know?
I feel like a lot of people, given the first game's release and given Battlefield 4, and even, obviously, Battlefield 1 wasn't nearly as bad, but even Battlefield 1, it's less. I feel whenever DICE releases a game, the story is how did it get released?
Well, I mean, going back to 4, because, I mean, you know me, I'm, like, way into Battlefield.
Yeah.
And, God, that game was a fucking mess.
Yeah, launch.
On release, Battlefield 4 is ridiculous. And then, leading up to this, it initially, like, they... So you get to play the game, got to play game week early, which I did through EA Access, either on PC or on Xbox, through their like monthly program. And people slowly began to realize, this shit's fucked. Because, you know, it was 60,000 credits to get one of the heroes. And someone did the math on Reddit and equated that to 40 hours of playtime for that amount of credits.
Wow.
Like, I'm actually doing well.
What's just amazing to me is I feel like scaling in multiplayer shooters in terms of like loot systems or like item reward based system, I thought we had that down. I thought since Call of Duty we've just known how to do it. You do X amount of stuff for X amount of long, not ridiculous long amount of time, you'll get everything, and if you want a prestige, go ape shit.
Like, we had that until microtransaction came to the scene.
Yeah.
And that's legitimately what's ruined this game. You know me, I'm huge into Star Wars. And I really enjoyed what I was playing. The campaign wasn't that, like, I know the campaign isn't good, but like getting some of the set piece moments was good. I'm not gonna say the campaign's good. Because it's not. It's like 4 hours.
Oh, you seem... Oh, wow. So you're trying to tell me when you played the first two, you got halfway through the game?
Oh, yeah. First three missions and you're pretty much... Well, it's apparently there's 12 missions, but like...
You're blowing through. 12 missions is a weak shit. Any time...
Well, but like 12 strong missions can be fine.
If a mission... But when
if it takes you 4 hours to do 12 missions?
There was once a time, especially like I'm thinking Halo, definitely. I think Halo 3
exactly,
a lot.
Yeah,
Halo 3, I think
that
is
popped
like,
in my mind too.
Has like 12 or 10 levels to it, really, and they're about an hour apiece.
Yeah.
A lot unfolds within them. None feel as useless as the other. It's
exactly.
very well
yeah,
structured.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more.
Just to
12
see, missions?
Yeah, just as, well, yeah.
How long is each
For
one?
For a Star Wars game, it's not long. They're not long
give me
at all. Well, if you think about it, like 4 to 5 hours, 12 missions, what's that like?
It's like 15... 20
it's like
maybe.
About like 20
minutes.
30
it's
minutes.
20 minutes,
30 minutes. Yeah, about. It's not long at all.
Yeah, I imagine if you're rushing through them, too, you'll just blow right by
them. You will, yeah. That's the impression I got. The only thing, and I was saying this to you earlier, is the thing that holds it together for me is the Starfighter gameplay. And holy shit, that gameplay is good, but man, do the Star Cards fucking ruin it. It's like...
Explain the Star Card system, because I didn't get that.
That's the million-dollar question. How the fuck do these Star Cards work? Nobody knows. And then they put... There's videos up on Polygon of, like eight videos. This is how you... I'm like, I don't want to do this much effort just to understand how the system works. I shouldn't have to do this to understand how this game works. But when I go, like... Oh, man. Like, to put it just kind of simply, it's... You have three different slots for Star Cards.
Yeah.
And you can get different levels of those Star Cards, and depending on the level of that Star Card...
What is this?
You get...
What is
it? It influences the traits of what that Star Card does.
After you evolve your Star Card?
You can evolve it, or you can just get one out of a loot box for no reason. But you have to get them out of loot boxes, that's the thing. Or you can craft them out of crafting parts.
So is Star Cards the only way you can essentially get better, like, Starfighters?
Well, no, Starfighter, like, classes Starfighters are all unlocked out of the base. So you have, like, on infantry, you have assault, heavy, specialist, and on officer.
Okay.
Those are just all good. Not all the guns are unlocked. You have to do, like, get a certain amount of kills or do a certain thing to get them. Which is, like, kind of like Call of Duty, which I understand that.
But then there's nothing wrong with being like that.
But then you add in the Star Cards where it literally, like, oh, your shield recharges at 200% the rate that everyone else is doing. But just because you have the Star Cards, it legitimately gives you advantages over other players. Like, very solidified gameplay advantages.
I feel like the only issue is how hard it is to get them.
It's not hard to get Star Cards. You get a bunch of currency.
It's hard to level them up.
It's just confusing, and you can just get... Some people will just get them. And you can obviously pay to win to get them. But the impressive thing was that literally the night before the release, like 3 or 4 hours before the game released officially on that Friday, this past Friday, They were just like, oh, we're just going to take all the money out of the game now. Not all the money, but like you can't pay actual money for...
give me that official statement.
You can't get but like the you can't get the premium currency anymore. Yeah, they said, but we're gonna add later. It's gonna come back. All you right. know,
I'll stop. Yeah, that's always really surprising to me because initially when I heard it and like everybody kind of explained it and I heard like the news that it would take like if you were playing 2 hours each day, it'd take this amount of years to get there.
Oh, I think I told you. Two hours a day, it would take 6 years to unlock everything.
Yeah, so when I found shit out like that, I wasn't even remotely surprised. I was like, hey, this is the thing that DICE is going to do to kill Battlefront 2.
Well, it's not DICE's fault. DICE makes a good game. DICE makes good games. EA fucking ruins them.
Do you think that even without these issues, this would be a must-own title?
I don't know. It's a hard question.
See, that's where... Because my impression has been that even with these issues, the game's just good.
I think without
this world experience, well, like, in terms of what it's offering.
Something came out today is that from the first game, physical sales in the UK are down 60% from that game.
That's huge. That's enormous. A massive market, too.
That's enormous, the amount of drop that had in the physical. We don't know, obviously, no digital or anything like that yet, so we can't make the complete determination.
Everybody bought two copies of FIFA or something. I don't know how that happened.
No, they're like, I don't want this Battlefront.
I don't blame them. I really
can't blame people
for
the amount of...
Are the numbers in the U.S. strong?
I have no idea yet, because they haven't been released yet. But like from what I understand, it's like... if you think about someone that's not... is interested in video games or interested in the business as we are, it's... They're like, what the fuck does all this mean? Why is everybody hating this? I'm just not going to get it.
I think this would have happened regardless. I think there's enough bad press from the first game to turn people off from buying a second one.
Absolutely. I don't think that at all, because they really had a strong argument for people to buy this game up until they let people play it a week early.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think there's enough people who were skeptical on the first one enough that the idea of buying this one at launch was just ludicrous to them.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think they did a good job of convincing with the media.
I definitely, as someone who paid attention to this game's launch and like its content that was coming out for it, I thought it looked better. I thought it looked to be a better game. I wasn't impressed.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't think what they were necessarily showing was telling me this was going to be the answer to Star Wars Battlefront 1.
Oh yeah, no, I totally get that. But the what they said,
I didn't think it looked bad.
Yeah, you can find the statement at EA.com. So this comes straight from the source. This is in the third paragraph. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but any EA statement that starts with the terms, we hear you loud and clear, is first off, I feel complete.
It's pretty tone-deaf. It's pretty tone-deaf considering everything that just happened prior to this.
I know, that's insane. We just heard that in-game transactions are now...
I don't even need to read... the only other thing I should read is that the ability to purchase crystals in-game will become available at a later date only after we made changes to the game. So like, we're not giving you motherfuckers that bought this any refunds on the crystals.
What are these changes?
Nobody fucking knows. That's why I haven't bought it. You know how much I wanted to play this game.
We hear you loud and clear, followed by vague details that aren't intentionally telling you how they're going to make this game better.
I feel really, genuinely feel bad for a lot of the devs.
Personally,
like, imagine working on this game.
Oh, it sucks to be DICE. DICE is one of the best
DICE
developers.
Criterion or what was the third one that worked on it?
You told me with the people who made Space Combat. Oh no, not Criterion. Was it Criterion?
Criterion did the no. Criterion did the you know what? Let me just look it up. Imagine being any of those developers and then having all this, the EA coming in and being like, oh yeah, we got to add shit tons of transactions to make the game just fuck up your game completely.
I still feel like this game is rushed. Like. It's been, 2 years since Battlefront 1
came out? Well, what gave me hope was they were like, hey, all the DLC's free. This has all three eras and good space combat and a campaign.
But that's the
stuff
they showed up and they touted the moment this game got announced. The moment this game got announced, they're trying to be like, this is going to be way better, way different, way superior than the original, than the first one. Obviously not the original made by Pandemic Man.
No, that was DICE.
Made the originals?
No, the very original? Yeah, it was Pandemic, right?
They were like, these games are going to be... This is going to... Essentially, the way they hyped it up and the way I picked up on it was, oh, they're telling people that this is going to be the game the first one should have been.
And the moment
they started saying that was the moment I was like, this is probably not going to be the game anyone's expecting. Because everybody was expecting that. I don't think they even realized those expectations were so high that without those expectations, this game's doing 60% less in the UK. Because that's the truth. From that launch to this launch, that's the thing I think this thing really lost, was that high level of anticipation they had. And I think that is what's killing this game. Not killing it. I'm sure it's selling fucking boatloads of copies. Yeah. But that's why we're seeing this massive drop.
That's a very big drop. And I'm hoping because of that EA... Disney was like, we're just going to take away your 10-year contract.
I thought that contract was ironclad.
Not if you fuck with Disney.
Not if you fuck with Disney, dude.
You fuck with Disney, they're going to fuck you right back.
I agree. I don't think Disney should be giving it to just EA. You have such a hot franchise. Like, can you imagine if you gave that to... Like, I feel if you gave that to any... If you gave that to Nintendo, you gave that to Sony, you even gave that to Microsoft, I feel all of them would then be like, oh, Robots make an exclusive AAA right here.
I was in denial until Visceral... They got rid of Visceral. Until they completely got rid of Visceral. And they were like... And they got rid of the game they were making with Amy Hennig.
Yeah.
You know, one of the writers from the Uncharted series. And to see that happen, and to see, like, some of the early footage of just the devs and just storyboards of that game... was like, this could be the game that, like, holy fuck, everybody wants this. And they're like, no, it's not. Like, then EA, the top execs are like, well, it's not multiplayer. Nobody's going to play it. It's not, doesn't have microtransactions. How are we going to make money?
How are we going to make money on this
single-player
game?
They're like, how the fuck are we going to make money? But the thing that boggles my mind is, like, I check EA stock because my dad's like, always asks me, he's like, is there any video game things I should get money into in the stock market? I'm like, right before the first Battlefront came out, I'm like, invest in EA.
Yeah.
It's like gone up 200% since then.
Is it still that high?
It's still going up.
We should check that in these upcoming days, see if this launch really
is. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm going to guess probably not, because they're very good at making money.
What would hurt them is if Disney flat out went, we're breaking this exclusive contract. Mm-hmm. That is bad. That is really bad, because that was a monopoly they had over this franchise. Like, it's weird to think just one franchise right is a monopoly, but Star Wars prints fucking
they do.
Cash.
I told my dad to fucking watch it closely, and if it starts dropping at all, sell.
Oh, my God.
Because he's made a lot of good money on it already.
This year has been bad, too. Given this.
Andromeda?
Andromeda killed... That's threatening to kill BioWare, in my opinion.
That's... Yeah, like it's very close to being like,
coming off of that and coming off of the defeat of that and coming off the defeat of this, where are they? And the needs for new need for speed wasn't good either.
It just feels, yeah, I feel like
it's like, what are they doing? What's going on?
Well, next year we're going to have a new Battlefield for sure. Mark my words.
I'm not
look at me right now. Look at me right now. They're going to have a new Battlefield. Yeah. DICE is pumping shit out. There has to be something with their name on it once a year because they know they have a large enough fan base with it. It's just like,
listen, if they, I can guarantee if they go World War II with Battlefield, they're going to be like, people are going to go lose their fucking minds.
I don't know.
No. Because Call of Duty was so underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to be as blown away by the idea.
I don't think they're going to be blown away, but like, they were blown away with World War One.
But World War One was unique. World War One went back before COD went back, and it went back even farther than COD had ever been. Yeah. So right. The precedent set by the industry leader for so long.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I could really go for another either World War II Battlefield or a 2041 Battlefield.
We need Bad Company.
We do need Bad Company back. If they said Bad Company 3 is coming out, I would be fucking ecstatic. That's my number one pick.
I think that's what they're going to do.
I would go, like, my top three would probably be a...
That's my
ballsy. It would be Bad Company 3. It would be, then below that, be 2042.
I think that could happen.
But the thing is, like, I think that's not going to happen because they just got... who are the guys that make Titanfall?
Oh, they just got Respawn.
Yeah, they just...
Just by Respawn.
Yeah, so and Titanfall 3 is going to be coming out.
And Titanfall 3 is going to be high.
So I don't think that's 2042 is going to happen. So that's why I think World War II is like the best bet right
here's
now.
Here's my mentality. Because they could also go back to Vietnam. Like, they made that Vietnam expansion.
For Bad Company 2. And that was one of that's probably the best multiplayer DLC I've ever played.
Yeah, it's one of the best. It's insane.
Like, it was a whole new game pretty much.
That
was awesome.
That's like my mentality with it is I feel they could go back to Vietnam, make a Bad Company like, or call it Battlefield Bad Company Vietnam 2. Make Bad Company. Here's why. Because Battlefield as its own standalone series, the way we know at it being released today, that Battlefield, its reputation is mildly tarnished.
Yeah, I would say so.
This Battlefront, its reputation is it's definitely hurt. It might not be tarnished, because that kind of sounds definitive. None of this is very definitive.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, these games don't have awesome connotations behind them. Like, a new one isn't going to thrill people, make them go, this game's going to be awesome, you should get it. People are going to be like, be skeptical. Be freaking skeptical. You know what one series I think they have where they could announce that game and people aren't going to... That's Battlefield Bad Company 3. I think if they were to announce that, enough people would be like, how could they F this up?
Yeah, no, Well, you thought about that with Battlefront too, but you know.
I don't know. Battlefront, I was never as. I felt like, especially.
Well,
given
the thing, from my perspective as like the Ultra Star Wars fan, I had a fucking blast.
That's where they're getting us. They're getting us into new fans. And I know. 2 weeks goes by, and then you're like, fucking fed up.
Yeah, and there's like, there's nothing to this game. It's like, I had fun with the like, think about how much work goes into making how accurate the sounds, the art, like, everything is. You know Disney's breathing down their fucking neck. Like, this needs to be 100% right all the time. Nothing can be out of place here. And then, but that at the sacrifice, I don't know if it's at the sacrifice of, but they sacrifice just basic fundamentals of gameplay.
Well, what Disney does, and this is a bit different, and this is, you could tell they did this with Disney Interactive. They would punish you not only based on sales, but on reception.
Yeah.
They seem to have a real, especially when they ran that company, they had a real... Hard.
What the hell is that? I don't know what I'm dropping.
Oh, you dropped your phone.
You see, that's why you don't wear sweatpants, kids, because shit falls out of your goddamn pockets all of the fucking time.
Yeah, but what I'm saying with Disney is that they seem to not only want good commercial performance, they want good reception.
Yeah.
Bethesda is similar, especially when you heard about Obsidian and their bonus dilemma. Mm-hmm. With for no one who knows, when Obsidian made New Vegas, they were told that I think I had to get like an 85 or better on Metacritic, and they would pay them a large bonus for it.
See, that's the stuff I don't like.
This stuff sucks. Yeah, this is where like this kind of quality watch, like it's what you want publishers to do, but you don't want them to do it like this. Because I think New Vegas, they deserve those damn bonuses. That game ruled.
Absolutely.
But they were like, their whole debacle about it was they wanted, I think it was for a specific title. I think they just had to do it on the 360. Or maybe just for one of them. But they were like, if this game gets lower than 85 on Metacritic, we won't give you this bonus. The game sold tremendously well. I think it sold just as well as 3.
Yeah.
And they got like an 84. And they did not get those bonuses.
Oh my god, that's so shitty.
That is shitty, but I think Bethesda is one of those publishers who really cares about reception.
Yeah.
Not only fan, but critic reception. And EA is one of those guys, and they're like, let's try to find a way to cheat it. Let's try to find a way to not deal with it.
You want to just remind it? I just remembered back when, actually, when Jeff Gerstmann reviewed Fallout 4, and he gave two different scores, one to the console and one to the
PC. He gave the console one a 3 out of 5, and he gave the PC one a 4 out of 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he... Different outlets gave him so much shit for that for some reason.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Trade reports can be way better than other ports. Yeah. It's been true since the fucking SNES. It's been true since the NES. Like, you compare from console to console, it can be a whole different change in games. There were so many titles, I think, that tried
from console to PC, like with this, it's like...
Let me give you an example. I think The Witcher 2 is a great example.
Yeah.
The Witcher 2 is a great game on console. It is a tremendous game on PC.
I would say the same thing about Witcher 3,
way smoother.
Too.
Yeah. It's low... Truth, but in 3, it's less noticeable. In 2, unless you could tell they were trying to port this really advanced PC game to 360.
But like when I'm like I was watching Rob play Witcher 3 today on Xbox.
Yeah.
Frame rate like actually almost made me sick.
Yeah, the frame rate,
like the frame rate and but the textures and everything like that. It's very playable. There's nothing wrong with it. If you but like after I've played it on a 4K TV. Above 60 frames per second with you know ultra resolution.
There's a certain
point
where making that the standard's unfair.
No, I don't think it should be the standard at all. I don't think it should be the standard, but I think that...
No, but I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's, like, obviously if you compare anything to 4K textures, you're going to be in a fucking nightmare, especially if you're comparing it to console. But if you just compare it to, like, high, just putting it above medium, or even comparing medium to what a lot of these console games run on, like, what would be the low setting.
That's exactly,
And Witcher 3 is a good example. But I think The Witcher 3 did a brilliant job of not worsening the overall experience
to console. I totally agree, yes. I 100% agree with that.
But 2 is still tremendous. I'm not trying to shit on any of these games.
I
think that's a really good point.
I mean, no, Witcher 3 is, like, my favorite game, yeah. I mean, like, I couldn't agree more.
I forgot what we were talking about. For this relation to, I believe you're talking about Jeff Gerstmann's review of Fallout 4.
Yeah, well, how he gave it two different scores and he gave it shit and stuff like that.
At this point, I feel like we've said what it means to say on this Battlefront game. You want to get into?
I mean, if you want to buy it, I mean, if you know you want it, you've already gotten it at this point. You know,
if you're
thinking
about buying a new Battlefront over rebuying L.A. Noire. Rebuy L.A. Noire. I'm going to tell you this right now. Because one game I know is awesome.
Think about this. You could fucking play it on the Switch now.
You can play... Apparently, it's amazing on the Switch. I've heard really good response is how this game has been ported over.
Wait, is it out yet?
I believe it comes out either... review copies are out. I know that.
Yeah.
And it might be out officially.
If it is out, I might go pick it up after this. If it's out officially.
May 2011. Yep, the game is out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just...
That's hilarious. See, that game's got 78 on Metacritic, but if you're trying to tell me Team Bondi didn't get, before they got shut down, didn't get paid some bonus, I'd be up in arms.
I can't believe I can fucking play this game on the Switch.
It's the more consoles, L.A. Noire could be.
Wait, is it out?
It might be out right
now. It's out on the 14th.
Yeah, it came out.
I'm gonna go.
I knew it came out this week or some point really soon. But yeah, it's the big thing with this re-release is I think it being on the Switch.
I'm literally going to buy it right after this podcast. I'm not even kidding.
Then the fact that it's just so awesome. There's some VR case files. I know that too.
But like the thing that blows my mind, like continually, the thing about the Switch in general, I could fucking just take these games with me. And I mean, I have to go. So a little background. I have to go back from. I have to take about 4 hours. To 5 hours, either train ride or car ride back to my hometown to work with the military because I'm in the National Guard. And sometimes I'm really fucking bored when I'm on the train. And the fact that I can just pick up the Switch and play Mario Odyssey, I can play Breath
you
of the Wild. Now I can play fucking L.A. Noire or Doom. That blows my mind.
The Doom on the Switch is nice.
It looks
nice.
But because I played so much of it on PC, I don't think I can play it on Switch.
Did you hear, though, that they are trying to make these... I don't know what specifically it is, but some stuff's coming to the Vive.
Yeah, I know that there's like some VR.
They call them VR case files.
Yeah,
they seem to be something. I don't know if they're new, but there's just some of the cases ported over. I haven't looked too deep. Honestly, I think VR isn't the greatest thing, so that might be.
It's. I mean, like if you let's say you have like PSVR. It's like so. One of my friends had just got Skyrim for VR.
Yeah,
and he said, this is really cool in VR. You know what I mean?
Like, it's really cool, but does that really cool make you want to put 100 hours to Skyrim, or would you much prefer to do that on a console or a laptop?
I think it definitely depends on who you are. Like, I know he will, and he does. Like, that's the thing. Like, it totally depends. You know if VR is for you or not. At this point, I know VR isn't for me, because, like I said in the last episode, I bought the Vive, used that for, like, 2 months, returned it. Used the Oculus for a month, returned it.
But that's my mentality. If you really look at it, it's a whole new way to play video games. That's what it is.
Well, the thing is, like, when I was playing things that... There were things when I played that fucking blew my mind. But once they were over with, I was like, well, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah, those were things that were catered for it. And what I'm finding is that the things that are catered for it is stuff that you don't make... It's like interactive movies. So they can only ever be so wrong and so high quality because they focus so much on trying to give you this somewhat quick experience.
Yeah.
And then I look over at the games that are getting ported over. These games like Skyrim. These games like... I'm trying to think of another...
I don't know. But like Skyrim's a very good example.
No, yeah, but Skyrim's a great example. It comes off as... There's better ways to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And those better ways a lot of times aren't as expensive.
Yep.
They're way easier to get to. And there's a good chance you've already played this game.
Yes.
And I agree. You're not really gaining anything from playing it on VR.
Yeah.
Unless... But, you know... Maybe I'm full of shit. Maybe I play Skyrim on VR and I'm like blown away. I'm like, they nailed it. Yeah. But I just can't see that happen.
Neither can I. Neither can I. PS is like, Skyrim's not a game I would want to play on VR. Skyrim's a game I want to play on my PC with a bunch of fucking mods to make it look better and all that kind of shit. You know,
and
what
that's the other thing too. Now you also have a console version that allows some mods. Yeah. Like, I'm not like, there's definitely a start. I think you would agree that there's a certain mentality within console gaming right now, especially on Microsoft's and Sony side, to try to do things that PC kind of had that they're trying, like
the attractive parts of the PC that they're trying to
emulate.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, to make success, mixed results.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot, like
horse armor.
That's what I'm getting at. It's like
paid DLC.
Where's this horse armor?
We're coming all the way back around. Paid DLC. It's coming back.
Like.
You want to pay $2 for horse armor? Go ahead. I mean, I'm not gonna.
That was Oblivion, right?
No, that was Skyrim.
That was Skyrim. Damn.
Yeah. Think about how long Skyrim's been out now. Were we in 9th grade, 10th grade when that came out?
We were in 9th grade. Came out 11/11/11.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's a great date. That's an awesome.
That's a great day to release anything. But like,
it did on a Friday.
Six years ago. And they're still releasing it. People are
game's a fucking masterpiece. So what are you expecting?
I know.
Here?
Well, but when Rob, I think masterpiece is going a little far. But Rob, I think
okay. You name me another single player game people are still willing to dive hundreds of hours into 6 years after the fact.
Witcher 3.
Witcher 3. It hasn't been 6 years, buddy.
It hasn't been 6 years. Let me. Okay, the older game.
What was the last time you played Witcher 2?
Like last year.
Too long.
Original Doom.
Yeah, those. That's
Dark Forces.
These are masterpieces. The games that you're going to come up are the games that
KOTOR 2. KOTOR
obviously,
1.
Obviously, KOTOR 2. Where are you getting
I like KOTOR, man.
I like KOTOR as well, but KOTOR 2 is a stretch.
What about Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast?
Jedi Outcast, different story. I've played Jedi Academy 2 as well.
Jedi Academy 2 is good. I don't think it's good as Outcast. Outcast is my favorite.
Outcast is pretty lit. I definitely played more Academy 2, but yeah, you know, I kind of just want to talk about KOTOR 2. How the hell are you telling me you can go back and play? That game has such a shit ending. It just ends.
I'm not saying
unfulfilling.
I said I would go back and play it. I said people would go back and play it.
You can tell Obsidian wasn't given a lot of time. You have to when you buy this game on fucking Steam, you're like, oh, right. Is this going to run well? And then you look up anywhere, it's going to tell you, nah, this shit's going to crash. You need to find fucking patches to play this game? Like,
what if I told you that there's a widely renowned mod that fixes the ending?
Yes, but that's what I'm getting at. Oh, there's a widely renowned mod that fixes the ending?
Yeah, that is, like, supported by the community.
Supported by Obsidian?
No.
Obsidian's coming up a lot in this podcast.
I know,
many,
right? That's weird.
Organic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we could do a whole podcast on them. They're an incredible studio. But,
Games.
Games, man. I'm just wondering what you'd say to that. But yeah, definitely,
Let's just talk about Alienware real quick. I'm a huge fan of this game. I consider it my whole. I've always kind of worded it, and I know you and I have talked about this before. I consider it the greatest adventure game, probably of the new decade, and a lot of that has to
of
do
that with, generation. I would agree.
I think of it's that the best generation, game. I like that I, more. Yeah. Of that 360 PS3 mm-hmm. era that lasted.
Like the only thing that I can think about is like Uncharted.
Uncharted's you know? Different. Uncharted for me. It's okay, let me say this.
Yeah,
there's when a very, there's when a I difference. Say adventure game, I think LA Noire is less a shooter, more like a point and click adventure agree. Game. And we've talked about this. So when I call it an adventure game, I'm talking more Tim Schafer esque.
Yeah.
Very kind of explore your surroundings. Uncharted is the adventure game in the action adventure.
It's
game
like the
sense.
Indiana Jones of the game
yes,
industry.
Yes.
You know, it's not the.
So I'm talking.
It's not the film noir stuff.
I'm talking
you know?
Two different kind of.
Yeah. No,
adventure
agree.
Games
yeah.
in my mind
yeah.
for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Totally.
So with that mind, if we do want to call it, because if you're going to tell me a game where you have to walk over to things, press A, pick them up, and look at them, isn't a point and click adventure game? You're full
you're right.
Shit.
You know, you're totally right. I believe
they're
actually,
just doing it.
You know what?
I less steam the sweat.
I really never thought about it like that.
It's a point and click adventure.
Yeah,
game. It's the best one of like of. I want to say this new day. I can't think of anything that's come out since 2010. Point and click. Like I like Broken Age. Don't get me wrong. But LA Noire.
But like people how
brought
many,
the medium
how,
to a
how
new
many people
level.
Really played the second part of like?
Yeah,
you know
I think
I mean?
That's
like,
true. I think a lot of people didn't stick with it either. I yeah. like. I definitely. I remember. I think I played the first part twice.
Yeah.
Because I played it. I got it when the second one was coming out.
Yeah.
Because it was on sale, and I played it twice. And I was like, I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
And I played the second one, and after the second one, I was just like, ah. Yeah. I'm done. The first one was much stronger.
Yeah, I agree.
It's definitely,
because I watched somebody play it. I didn't play it myself.
I definitely was in. I definitely got it when I got on Steam.
Yeah,
when it was on sale, and it was definitely like it's nice too because I like those games because they run well on my laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
But LA Noire. I
remember when you had to play it on two discs.
I feel like this re-release. I thought it was three discs.
Was it really?
I believe
now it's
Alienware.
On one tiny cartridge, but I think it has like a 15 gig update on Switch, which sucks because it's half of the memory.
People don't realize those animations, but those files are massive.
Oh, I know, but like the thing is that the only problem is you're like, and okay, so you have the cartridge,
yeah,
and you have to download half of your Switch's storage just to play the
that's
game.
That's the deal. That's the deal.
That kind of sucks, right?
That does suck. Is Alienware worth it?
For me, yes.
For
that's
you,
why
yes.
I'm literally going to go to Best Buy after this and
but
get
when,
it.
But when does it become an... Like, how big can a Switch gaming collection be? Because I think about, like, how big... How many games... Like, it's the same thing I play a lot of times on my Xbox. Like, how many games can I fit on this... What I have left of 500 gigabytes? See, that I don't lose to OS.
Yeah. See, like, what I... What, but
that,
then,
that,
then you
that's
just
a
get
game
like
I'm
a,
always playing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what needs to stay? What
see,
needs
like,
to go?
What I can't wait for to come to Switch is actually...
It's a hard drive?
Well, I mean, you can get SD cards.
I know
it,
you
which
can,
is nice.
Know,
thank
which
God.
Is nice.
When
it's
SD card, yes, as any mini SD card.
Any? That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, which is very nice. They didn't make just, it. They didn't go the Vita route.
That
and made it.
So incredible.
Listen, hey, that affected me.
We'll talk about the Vita one day. We'll give it
one
its,
day.
We'll give it its proper
yeah,
burial.
The Vita I'm going to trade in to get a PS4 Pro, that Vita.
How much money do they give you? $14?
$70.
For a Vita?
Yeah. It's because I got the original one, baby, with Wi-Fi and 3G. you can call people on that thing.
That was such a... I don't know why so many... I felt like when that got announced, a lot of people...
Because I loved the PSP.
No, what amazed me... And I even kind of bought it, too. Like, I didn't buy it. I mean, I bought this idea.
Yeah, I bought it,
was this idea that, like, a video game, an awesome video game handheld that could double act as your phone was, like, the best thing ever... When in reality, phones caught up.
Yeah.
Phones became their
yes,
own
yes.
consoles.
So I'll never get back the guilt I got of my parents getting me that for my birthday. I'll never get that guilt back of them wasting that money.
$70.
I will get $70. That'll fill that big old void in my heart.
Ugh. All right, what's next on the docket? Oh, we got some news. So today... Released by our good old boys at Sega, they revealed the Valkyria Chronicles 4 was coming out. Now, I know you're not very familiar with the franchise.
Well, what is that?
Valkyria Chronicles. Let me explain.
Is some anime bullshit, Tom?
It is some anime bullshit. It is very anime looking. It's not based off anime, I don't believe.
Okay.
But the game has very anime influence art style. What it is, it's probably... For me, Valkyria Chronicles is one of my favorite strategy games, and it does an incredible job of actually making a really good, cohesive strategy
package on consoles that's easy to understand, easy to play, and doesn't feel extra tedious. Because at times, strategy games find this perfect balance, a lot of times between being awesome micromanaging on a huge, just keep going scale, over being tedious as shit. And like that's kind of the balance I think most strategy games strive for. Valkyria Chronicles is probably one of the best at it, and it does it on a very hard place to do it, which is a console. You don't have as much buttons to play with, period. So what Valkyria Chronicles is, it's about a fictional war, the Europan War. It's kind of a play on World War II without having to use any of the actual names, locations, or, you know, it's not looking to insult anyone. I feel it's kind of it's a smart way of going about it if you're not looking to make a very violent video game, per se, and one that's kind of looking to be historically accurate. But the sequel, so essentially this game came out, Valkyria Chronicles, on PS3. It was awesome. It's the best one.
Yeah.
Its sequel got released on the PSP, for whatever reason. And it was its real sequel. And then they made this game called Valkyria Revolution recently, where they tried to make it more action. It was weak. It did not do what they were trying to do, which was kind of create this strategy action hybrid,
which is what Valkyria
Chronicles feels like. But really, the action's not BS. It's just not as important. It's just not an important
I've seen gameplay, and it looks pretty cool. Like, I'll give it that. I've seen gameplay, and it just looks fun.
This new one, what's good to me is from its announcement trailer and from the screenshots they've shown, it seems what I picked up on, it's going to be just the same as the third one, and you can play it in the desert in the snow. And that alone is enough for me to be excited.
Yeah.
They'll definitely probably do enough cool things with classes and gameplay and, like, all that good jazz. But on the all, it looks like a good direction. Things look better in it, like textures overall. Looks like it runs well. It still looks like it could have come out for the PS3, but I think that's a good thing for this game. Especially just kind of given... A part of me is not super excited. A part of me is not very impressed. But I think I just need to see more. Because right now what essentially is telling me, and I think this is what you're just going to get from everyone, is that it's going back to where it once was, which is an awesome thing. But is it just going back or is it growing on it? And I think there's just not enough here to really say anything on that yet.
Yeah.
Speaking of growing on stuff, I hear WoW isn't dead.
Yeah, I mean, the new expansion, Battle for Azeroth, is coming out. They're saying it's going to be the biggest expansion that they've had,
which is
impressive. But because I actually played WoW, I think I've told you this, up until I played it with the expansions, in tune with the expansions up to the Lich King, and then I kind of played them whenever after that, but I'm all caught up, except the past one where I haven't played Legion, but when this comes out, I'll probably buy this.
I heard Legion was
that's why I didn't get it. I just wanted to, you know,
I think Cataclysm, you can argue differently, but I think since Mist of Pandaria, I think it's only been the two. Maybe Cataclysm a little. I don't say Cataclysm. I feel like these expansions aren't what they once were. Like, they kind of change things up, but they're just kind of like an introduction to a new race you can be, on top of a new class you can be, and that's it. And, there's some new missions to play. It's just there isn't... What WoW would need for me with this new expansion is a massive overhaul. It can't just add on to its foundation, because I just think people aren't attracted by this foundation anymore, period. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you see these subscriber numbers dropping.
Yeah, I can see that, for sure. It's an interesting concept of when... You know, where do they go from here? Because they already announced
I think it's done.
Well, I know that, but
look at Overwatch, you just pour all your time into that.
Yeah. Well, I do. But, the thing is, WoW is still, so huge. But then they announced bringing back vanilla WoW, which is huge.
That is big.
Yeah. So we got to see, but they don't say give them a time frame.
That'll attract that really hard WoW fan base. But
yeah,
I think Blizzard did a brilliant thing by just making a new IP instead.
Yeah.
To be this genre of MMO gaming might be dying. Yeah. I don't think it's going to die myself, but I definitely think the days of millions of people being on one server to play MMOs is coming to an end.
Okay.
That's my general mentality about it. Yeah, I think you're going to start seeing more single-player experience games.
I would say single-player.
Here's what I'm getting at. I don't mean like that. What I mean is think about Grand Theft Auto V.
Mm-hmm.
GTA Online, essentially what they created, was as damn close to an MMO as you can get.
while still keeping it in this foundation of this single-player gameplay kind of structure they invented for the single-player.
Yeah.
That is what I'm getting. That's what I'm starting to understand. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example of, like, a game that doesn't have it. Like, imagine, like, I want to say Elder Scrolls, but then, like, there's one of those out there. But imagine if, like, Elder Scrolls Online was actually done by Bethesda and not some third party, some company they brought. ZeniMax, I think, did it. Like, imagine if they really tried with, like, really brought the Bethesda software studios and they tried to make their upcoming Elder Scrolls also an online multiplayer experience. Not an MMO.
Yeah.
But say you can play up to, like, four people in one kind of world.
Yeah.
That would hurt the MMO market. Because you have these premium experiences that now have premium multiplayer experiences.
Yeah.
So instead,
I think they're totally two different crowds, though. That's the thing.
But I think we're starting to get to the day where we see games like Overwatch steal that crowd. Like, I think we're starting to see more.
I think it depends. I think it very strongly depends on who, because I know some people are very.
I don't think
very,
the whole.
I know people that are very strictly like. This is the kind of game that they will play.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes. And I think those are the people who are going to stay with MMOs like that. But I think the age of having millions on millions of gamers, being a real kind of presence in the... I don't see it anymore. I don't see millions of people playing WoW anymore.
I think there are millions of people playing WoW right now, though.
I thought the subscriber numbers got bad.
They're going down, but I think they still have a lot.
WoW subscriber numbers... I'm looking at them right now. Mm-hmm. Currently, our subscriber number is around 10 million.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of people.
You know it's difficult. We are an internal Overwatch, but it's possible we'll get even higher.
Yeah, so...
We have an internal competitor.
Yeah.
When they refer to Overwatch. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Is I think WoW's hard market... WoW's really intense share. I'm like real kind of strong... like. I'm looking at a graph right now, honestly. Because, like, this all happened in somewhat relative fast order.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Pandaria held,
see,
and then they wanted to plummet.
See, like, something I can definitely see happening is them going totally free to play. You got to pay for...
That's how I see it
going.
What
I mean? But, like,
but it got low for Pandaria, too. In Pandaria, it got as lower than 7.5.
Yeah. But it's back up now. I think it's definitely going to go back up when this next expansion comes out. So it's still high. Still a lot of people playing this game, you know?
But I think what we're going to start seeing is... It's very comparable for me. A good analogy is, I think, pro wrestling and their ratings.
Yeah.
What happens is each year, there's this boom period in business when, like, big shows happen. And you'll see, like, TV ratings will go from being, like, playing around 3 million to getting far in 3 million. Like, almost complete, like... 30% increases for just these one periods. And that's what these expansions, I fear, are going to do. But each year, it still steadily goes down. And I think what's going to happen is with each passing expansion, we're just going to start seeing that number it really swims at go down, as long as also with the boom number going down as well.
Yeah, I can see that. Thinking about free-to-play and stuff like that.
Do you feel that's an effective free-to-play model?
Yeah, I think it could happen, but they'd have to evolve the whole system. That's a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, what got me thinking about free games is actually that, surprisingly enough, Humble Bundle is actually offering, what's it called? What's that Jack Black game where he does the metal stuff? With
Brutal Legend. Or
Brutal Legend, thank you. Brutal Legend is free now on Humble Bundle.
Humble Bundle. Yeah. Damn. Anything else?
No, that's the only thing free on PC right now, I think.
Well, that's nice, though. That's a good game.
Yeah.
I know free right now on Xbox is Tales from the Borderlands. It's the new game for gold, I think, for the next 15 days, which might be for a calendar month.
Oh, shit. Trackmania Turbo is free.
Trackmania Turbo was their last previous free game, along with, I think it was Knights, the old Dreamcast game.
I fucking love Trackmania.
Yeah, I got it. I picked it up. I haven't touched it, though. I've been playing other stuff. But what was I saying about... Oh, yeah. You were bringing up that Brutal Legend was free. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's like... If you haven't played that game, dude, like...
Playing
that for free.
Yeah,
play exactly.
For free.
It's
a really fun adventure. Like, I thought it was...
Like, a lot of PCs can run it, too. So, like...
It's not a hard game. It came out for early 360, I feel like. But, Tales from the Borderlands is free, which got me kind of thinking myself, is like... How many people got Tales from the Borderlands, you think? Like, actually went out of the way to get that one?
Because I don't know a lot of people that are like, hey, I really want this board. I really want the Borderlands story.
I don't know enough. I don't know enough people who even play Borderlands to be like, yeah, I'll buy this separate story-based entity to this gun loot game. I feel like that's a real issue with a lot of Telltale stuff. Like,
but you can see that with what recently happened, unfortunately, with
With their layoffs, yeah, for sure.
25% of the workforce was laid off, and I mean we're getting these numbers from Polygon.com, and it's the hold on a sec. Did you unplug my headphones?
No. I know what's up. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Sorry about that. The company announced a restructuring, and they laid off 90 people, dude. That's a lot of people. But you think about it, they fucking exploded.
I went right to Telltale's page because I want to kind of, because I'm looking at all the stuff they did beforehand, like Sam and Max.
Yeah.
Like Poker Night at the Inventory, like the Back to the Future game even before then.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, they make The Walking Dead Season 1 Tales from the Borderlands. I mean, they made The Walking Dead Season 1.
Yeah.
And then I think before then they had Jurassic Park in the works and stuff. But if you see what follows, like, I think besides The Wolf Among Us, everything is these big fucking IPs and franchises.
Yeah.
Like,
they're kind of just like tailgating on them.
Like, for me, the golden period of when I really, really followed these guys hard was The Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead Season 2.
Yeah.
I was getting both those games. I wanted nothing more than to wait. When those games came out on their each episode, I would care. I would care very deeply to play them.
Yeah, no, I did. I remember that too. Yeah, I remember. I think we're both doing the same thing at the same time.
We definitely did it for the Season 1 of Walking Dead.
Definitely.
Because it was awesome. They were these super immersive. Like, I love Heavy Rain, and I compare a lot of these games to Heavy Rain because I think Heavy Rain is like.
Except, that's made by David Finch, right?
That's David Finch, yeah.
But he's fucking sucks at doing heavy-handed stories. That's the problem. Like, he delivers these, like...
Well, his best one's Heavy Rain.
I have. I'll agree with his best one's Heavy Rain, but, in his the most recent that's supposed to come out, Detroit Human, Human, and in... But, like, he...
Like, I thought Beyond Two Souls was good,
too. He has a very big criticism of going about making stories intentionally just heavy-handed.
People say the same shit about Kojima.
But with Kojima, his is being just a fucking creep with sexual stuff. That's the criticism that people have.
Yeah,
but like with David Finch, it's you should actually develop.
Can be David Cage.
David Cage, is that who did it?
I believe his name is David Cage.
I could have gotten it completely wrong.
David Cage. No, is a French video game. David Cage.
Sorry about that. At least from what I understand, the criticism of him is that he would go about making really just fucking disturbing stories, but not really have anything to back it up. He was just doing it just to do it, kind of thing.
Just he's
just to get the shot factor.
Kind of a sadist.
Yeah.
Okay, I see that argument, but as someone who has played Beyond Two Souls and has played Heavy Rain, which is really the extent of me and him, I wouldn't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of his games have deep personal meanings and ask very benevolent questions about life.
Mm-hmm. He also has his games also have a criticism of having a lot of false choice in them. That's the thing.
Okay, I agree. I will admit though, and especially games like Heavy Rain, where a character can die and the game will continue and will react accordingly to a character being dead that could totally still be alive, I would openly disagree.
Okay.
But Beyond Two Souls, I felt that way. I felt it didn't have that level of choice in it. And I think these new games, this new one that's coming out, I wouldn't stun me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how heavily I agree with that criticism.
Mm-hmm. I'll look into it more and discuss it with you. Probably next podcast or something if it comes up again, because we probably will talk about games that are coming out next year or something. I don't know, because there's a fuck ton of games coming out next year, especially for Sony.
Sony has a shit. We can talk about that in a later episode.
Absolutely.
But let's get back to Telltale.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at did you even know they released the Walking Dead side series from Michonne?
Yeah.
Three episodes were out of the blue for nowhere.
Yeah.
Just to kind of cash in on their most popular IP.
Well, I think at the time, the most popular character in the TV series, too.
That's true. That was another big thing. She blew up there.
Yeah.
8 episodes of Minecraft story mode.
That apparently was huge, though.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I feel like a lot of these are big because of license as well. Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, think about
it. I wanted to play the game. That's the last one I really played was Game of Thrones. Yeah, I wanted to play that game.
I hear it was...
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
I would be it. Like, if you were like, should I get that for $20, mm-hmm. the whole game, I'd tell you, yeah.
Okay.
The Walking Dead, the final season, which they say is coming, but that's a different thing than A New Frontier.
Okay.
Which got released, which is kind of their updated skin one.
They just need to tone it down, man. They need to fucking rework some
their
stuff.
Heads,
they need
we're already on a second Batman game. They're already working on The Wolf Among Us Season 2, and the season finale of Guardians of the Galaxy's come out. This, they're competing with themselves.
I know. They got to really focus on really fine-tuning their engine. And maybe even updating the engine.
What should happen, and I get why they want to make as many of these as possible, but what I feel like...
We should preface this with, we're not developers.
We
have no fucking experience.
We're just fans that make lofty demands.
Yeah.
That's what we're good at.
Yeah.
So speaking of being a fan that loves to make lofty demands at the developers I like, my whole mentality is it just seems like now. Mm-hmm. It used to feel like a seasons would end and we'd have to wait.
Yeah.
But in reality, what ended up happening after a short while was like seasons would end and then something new would start. Like
yeah.
Wolf Among Us in season
you'd
2
you'd immediately
ended.
Lose the interest that
yeah.
you had in, you know, Walking
yeah.
Dead because something else came out and you'd
well,
completely fucking forget about it.
It wasn't that I'd lose interest. It was like I'd go to play Tales
you'd
from
forget
the
about
I'd, I'd play Tales from the Borderlands, played episode 1.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't as good as the other two. It's something completely different.
Yeah.
The problem is that a lot of these stories and a lot of like how they're framed and stuff, I feel like if you go in, like, if you're hooked, if you get hooked to Telltale because you like The Walking Dead,
yeah,
are you really going to like Minecraft fucking story mode?
Probably not, no.
Obviously, these games all apply to some really different markets, I feel
yeah.
like. And like,
which is good. It's good to diversify,
good.
But like...
But now they're competing with themselves in almost every market.
Yeah.
Now, besides Minecraft story mode, which I really have no other competition with, you have two different superhero
yeah.
Competitive video game ones, while you have a bunch of different side ones and single ones for one specific... Like, can you imagine if two companies made four Walking Dead video games since, like... Now, five, honestly, if you count Season 1,
insane.
Season 2, A New Frontier,
that's
Michonne,
lot, yeah.
and the possible final season, from, like, 2018 to 2012, over 6 years, you'd be like, wow, they're really going at each other.
Yeah.
One company's doing this to
yeah.
themselves. And at this point, I think people are getting fed up with it, too, because I think the quality of these games isn't improving. And
yeah.
no one's seeing improvement, and that starts to... I think that's why they're slowly losing people
yeah.
in the process.
No, I totally agree. Yeah.
And that is where we are with them. And I think...
Well,
I
they really need to take a step back and analyze
they
what, where they are and what they need to do.
They got to build themselves. I feel like either...
Because they have the potential
engine,
to make fucking awesome shit, you know?
The
and
problem,
they have made
yeah,
awesome
the
shit.
The problem is these animations and these graphics, like...
It's outdated at this
most
point.
The most recent Batman game, in my opinion, and I know it even supposed to look better, barely looks remotely better than The Walking Dead Season 1.
Really?
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't for an over-inherent increase of, like... HD, like, gaming and, like, just improved kind of presentation across the board, like, even a somewhat updated animation, there really isn't much going on there. And, like, these games still have, like, a shit ton of technical issues in them. Like,
yeah.
these games come out, and I feel like always something's happening that doesn't seem, look a little off, look a little right, that kind of is like, oh, well, it's Telltale,
yeah.
we'll let it slide.
I know what you mean.
I feel like they need to sit down. I feel like when they finally get this Batman game out, this second Batman game they've released over the course of like 2 years.
Yeah.
The second Batman
yeah,
game
Yeah, 2 years is a long time for that.
And I think this new Walking Dead, sit on it.
Yeah,
develop it.
Absolutely.
Time it up so when the series comes out, like for its final season or whatever, wherever that may be.
Yeah.
Time it correctly. Do it then because I feel like you need to really sit down and you kind of have to come out with some your next big title.
Yeah.
Which so, is that.
Yeah.
needs to show that the upcoming Telltale titles are going to also be of a new high standard. Not
yeah.
of the same standard since 2012.
Yeah. No,
that
I,
is
yeah, I
where I'm
more.
At with Telltale. Honestly, though, it's a shame. They're an awesome development company, in my opinion. I love those kinds of games. I think they do it really well.
Yeah. No, I do, too.
It's,
yeah.
just,
it's a shame that they're not... It doesn't seem like they're reaching their potential.
Yes, yes. That's just, I think, is it spread too thin?
Exactly.
But I think after the laying off of the staff, I think either it's going to result in two things. Either less games on that same kind of new
yeah.
game after the other, so instead of doing two at a time, there'll be one at
yeah.
a time, or it'll actually mean time between maybe the premiere of two games.
Yeah, I really hope all those people find jobs too. By the way,
I hope so. Because as well.
If they're working at that company, they obviously work for a reason. And
it's a shame.
It really sucks because it seems like the
company was going off. They were like starting to take off.
They were expanding big time, and then they're like, "Wow, we took on way too many people, and we need to cut down."
That's a shame.
Which sucks. But I have confidence that those people are talented enough that they got jobs. I really hope that they do too.
Like, I hope so as well. Like, I hope, like, obviously we've never applied for a job as video game developer, but I like to think that if you're coming off solid titles, especially the stuff Telltale had been making, I feel like, you know, I hope those guys get jobs. They definitely work on a higher, like on a very story-based level, which is nice. You don't even see that a lot in gaming.
Yeah. Nowadays, yeah.
Well, let me say that. You don't see a lot of that in, like, I don't know if it's cool. I don't know if, like, you call it Telltale AAA, but I feel like ever since they've kind of had this big company
stand. Yeah, I don't. It's like a weird
AAA
thing. Yeah. I'd like to read up on where they stand in that.
Yeah, I would.
But because I'm not really sure. I can't definitively think that.
Those games are big successes.
They are. Yeah, big time. Yeah.
They made a lot of cash for sure.
Yeah.
So definitely beyond talking free games, beyond talking that, what are you playing, my man?
No, this past week, I actually went through and I replayed all of Hitman, the most recent one. Man, is that game so good?
Oh, it's awesome.
The amount of stuff you can do in that game, the amount of fucking variation, the opportunities you have. I also did it because actually brand new DLC came out called Patient Zero. Yeah, they changed. That I won't spoil any reason. I might just play with you over break or something.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. Hey.
And because the last mission, you're like, I've never been more stressed in my fucking life playing a video game in a good way. But like, holy fucking shit, it was crazy.
Must have been easy to go back and replay them too, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. The game still looks amazing too. Like, they did a really good job. And the fact that they're still going, even though Square Enix separated from them.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's insane. Yeah, and they're still going.
Oh, it's because they probably make enough money.
Yeah,
they have. They realize, because I was skeptical at first.
Because remember, it was like the episodic model. It's like, it's not going
to
be good.
I was like, this sucks. And then, like, once it made sense to me, I was like, oh, constant Hitman updates with these super awesome levels that are bigger than anything else. To have like
one of
each level, if when you really go in for the first time, at least for me, when we play that game, it's like an hour.
It's very intimidating.
It's like a puzzle to decipher.
I love it.
And it's not even like the way you decipher it is the right way.
Yeah, especially in you know what elusive targets are?
You mean the mission type?
So the elusive targets are, they're only available for a certain amount of time. You can do them once. You start the mission. If you fail, that mission locks out. You failed it.
And so
not each day. I think it's like monthly or weekly.
Keep you waiting. I like it.
And they have said, like, Gary Busey was one of the targets one of the months.
I think I saw
you
that.
Saw
I
that?
Remember
yeah.
that, yeah.
And man, is it fucking nerve-wracking. Like, I plodded around for, like, an hour and a half, and I finally found the guy. I followed him for, like, another 30 minutes. I just picked up a screwdriver. Both guards turned for a second. He was looking straight at me. I fucking threw the screwdriver into his fucking forehead and ran out the window and got out through the helicopter. It was fucking, like,
Gary Busey never saw a car.
But like, fucking having like that amount of adrenaline, like the, because you're like, oh, if this mission goes, if you fail this, you fucking fail this mission. There's no going back.
But that's the definitiveness I think a lot of people have, and like, well, a lot of people want out of like their AAA titles.
It's so good.
It feels,
my god.
Like,
I mean, it's Jeff Bond's game of the year.
You're forced to really give a fuck. It's the same with like XCOM's Iron Man mode.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It makes these games where it's super easy to go back, reload, because you fucked up and you want to do it purely and you really want to get it right. That modes like that are essentially to kill you inside.
Yeah.
To force you to like live with those mistakes when you want to do it perfectly. Yeah. It's very life kind of heartbreaking. Like, I don't know, like, that's the only comparison I can make. Is like when you're in life and you are really trying your best. But you're still going to get fucking... Because things are tough and hard and not easy to accomplish. Even when
someone sees you dressed as a vampire in the attic and they were like, what the fuck are you doing up here? I'm like, hey, guy, how about this fire extinguisher to your face? And then you run out the window and you throw a circumcision knife into a guy's face to assassinate him and you run away. That's what Hitman is.
That's literally what Hitman is.
Do you want to be a creep that's circumcised as you're dressed up in back of
your
Are you telling me if you saw something
sitting on a pedestal, you walk up to it and it says circumcision knife, you tell me you're not picking that up
using
it to immediately kill the target?
I'm killing people with that, of course. Like, there's that's the beauty of that game. It's like the fun. It's like any great game. The fun goes beyond just like what's set there by the developer. Just because the developer's giving you so much, you can like kind of create it yourself. No. It's a beautiful
thing. Definitely, yeah. What have you been playing?
Stardew Valley.
How's that
going? It's become my obsession. I was trying to get through Andromeda, and then like one time I was like, this is just rough. I just got Stardew Valley too. I want to play it. I don't really want to play anything else.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love it because like, when I would play Harvest Moon, there'd be moments of like extreme monotony where I'd be like, can I really farm for like virtually four hours a day?
Yeah.
That game is more than farming.
Oh, yeah.
That game
I've
is like that. Animal Crossing meets like a somewhat simplistic dungeon crawler meets this awesome kind of meet this town, this kind of social hub, which like all those things I just think are appealing to a certain kind of like if I put it this shortly, like if you don't like the Animal Crossing aspect of it, of meeting the town and fishing, you don't have to touch it. Or at least my general impression is you really could just farm and not give a shit about anyone.
Yeah.
I like doing everything because I think they've done a bang-up job with everything.
Well, it was just one guy that made it, right? I'm pretty sure it was just one fucking guy that made it. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's the case because I remember hearing that a long time ago.
Developed by Eric Concerned Ape Baran and published by Chucklefish.
Yeah. Fuck. One fucking guy. Isn't that insane?
Good thing this is on the Switch. He deserves all the money we can give him.
Yeah. That was the most impressive part to me. And I think someone else did the music, but I think he did that. Well, the development part is just an unbelievable
thing. That music is so good.
That's what I hear.
Good.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely going to pick it up on Switch.
Half the fun is... I got the soundtrack with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came with it.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's fantastic. Came with the Xbox release.
Dope. That's really cool.
I really cannot recommend the game much higher. It really is top tier. Like, as for what it's going for too, which is like, because that's the thing with Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon's one of those franchises where it's like, I compare it to like Dynasty Warriors and stuff. It's kind of a theme in Japan, which sucks. Is these certain franchises that just make new games that are reskinned out of the same game as the old game.
Like
Animal Crossing. It's the king of it. Each game is the same Animal Crossing. And people buy it.
See, if you didn't fucking up, dude, you know? I mean...
And, like, I'm not shitting on... I am shitting on that. I hate that. But this really feels like a progression of a game franchise I love that was going nowhere. That was just re-releasing the same... Or trying to do something different while just kind of destroying what made it good.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley. What's great about it? Because right now I'm only like two. I think I'm like about to enter winter for my first year. So like for anyone who knows, it's not a long time. I only have probably about like 8, maybe 10 hours in.
Yeah,
I played it all this weekend, and like just right now I have like such an incentive to like just the idea of getting to like a second year in that game. It's like whoa, and like I'm kind of like I can already see how I could live like 20 years in this town.
Yeah,
like that's what I'm getting at. Because like you work like. You try to build these relationships with people, and like it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just giving them a gift isn't gonna give you a heart. Like, you have to either nail that gift or give them a gift on their birthday.
Yeah.
And their birthday's coming once a year. Like, you begin to see like the opportunity to actually meet everyone in town. Like, you can see where that time commitment goes.
Definitely.
Like, you can see how you could put like, I went into this dungeon. There's a floor to the dungeon, and like. I got to floor 5.
Yeah.
They gave me a marker. I could go down to floor 5 any time. The next marker is floor 40.
Oh, wow.
So, like, there's all those. So that's a whole other level.
Yeah.
Fishing is fucking amazing. I love it. It's genius, this mini game they got going on. That you can do for days. Because all these things have their own unique level up system. Mm-hmm. All these tiers. There's incentive to go. It's just, it's amazing. It really is. I'm like... There definitely looks to be what I like to call a definitive point, which is where you can kind of do everything in a game.
Yeah.
But there's 5 fucking areas. I'm in just one area right now. I think there's 5, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want any of this really ruined for me.
Yeah.
But I had no idea going in there was more than just Stardew Valley. And it seems there's like four other towns I can go to and meet four other towns of people and build four other towns worth of relationships.
That's fucking crazy,
and maybe start four other fucking farms.
Jeez.
I'm not sure. But I did notice you have different starting points now.
Yeah.
In the game I got, which is like a more definitive version, you can start in any of the five areas. I don't know if that means there's a farm in every area.
Mm-hmm.
The impression I've gotten is no, but yeah.
Yeah, that was weird, yeah.
Yeah, I just had a bit of audio. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're fine. Just a little more audio mix-up.
Yeah, obviously I'm a little late to the party on this game. I know that.
Came out
a long while ago.
Same thing with Hitman, but I'm still playing it.
Well, Hitman's awesome because Hitman just keep making new content. But, like, this game just keeps getting re-released, and I think the recent port to the Switch, I think that'd be worth getting. I think this game's a genius handheld. That's surprising to me, is that this is the first kind of handheld system it's been released
Absolutely.
For. I don't know how hard it is to run. Like, it doesn't seem very hard to run on the Xbox, but it's totally worth the pickup.
Absolutely.
I can't recommend it any higher.
Yeah.
At least so far. I haven't beaten it.
Yeah.
But I'm already enticed to play for fucking days.
You know, and with that, I think that's going to conclude
the
second episode of Watchtower.
That's it. Next time we'll be up to what?
Number three. Number two comes after number two.
What do we talk about? We were going to talk about for the next episode.
Games. You know.
Games.
We'll talk about games next time. We promise.
We'll probably talk about games. We'll definitely talk about upcoming games for next year. Lined up.
That was it. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely join us for next time. It was a blast.
Yeah, definitely.
You did a great job.
Yeah, you too, Tom. I appreciate you coming around, coming all the way over here to Cape and Three,
So much damn appreciation. Yeah.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys joining us up here in the Watchtower. We'll catch you next time on episode 3.